Nutty Debate.
Hello, mixed nuts and nutcases. You have tuned in for a special Nutty Debate. Today, we're going to be talking about guilty pleasures. And you're very lucky for getting this. Not that I'm, you know, trying to say, oh, you should be thankful for what you get, but I'm just saying you're lucky in the sense that I actually stopped from NaNoWriMo to take the time to actually record a Nutty Debate, because it's very tempting to say, oh, I can't do it right now. I've got to get another 5,000 words out. But I'm not. I'm stopping. I'm taking a break. I even took a break to go do a guilty pleasure today, and that was to see the latest Twilight movie. So, without further ado, I've got with me Christy. Say hello.
Hello.
And FaZe.
Salutations.
And FaZe is from...
Oh, Ireland. I thought the accent might have given it to you.
I meant your podcast.
Context, Nutty, context.
Obviously, you're from New Jersey. I mean, duh. Everyone can hear that accent.
Well, James Masters is from New Jersey, and I just watched him in Smallville. He sounds English.
There you go.
Gatecast. Stargate episode by episode. Gatecast.phasecast.com. And sometime early next year, we'll be starting Tales from the Vortex, a similar format, but beginning, not the pretend beginning in 2007. This is from the actual beginning, or 2004. This is from the actual beginning back in 1962.
I see. Excellent. And Christy is a role-playing friend and not of a podcast, but a pretty awesome gal.
Thanks, hon. Yeah, I'm a podcast newbie. Yay.
She just got Skype, what, a week ago?
Actually about 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So let's start out with, like I said, I will admit it. I went to see Twilight. To me, what a guilty pleasure is something that you feel like you should be embarrassed about liking, but you like anyway. Although sometimes I have to tell you, I have no shame. But Twilight, the books, the movies, I can criticize them with the best of them. And I can definitely bring up the fact that they bring interesting conversation, especially when it comes to writing discussions.
Or honey badgers.
Or honey badgers. I really hope they add a honey badger vampire to the second part of this. We'll have to explain that. But I love it. Why? I can't tell you. It's cotton candy, and it's a guilty pleasure. So who else wants to confess a guilty pleasure, a recent one?
I can't diss Twilight first.
Go right ahead. Diss it.
In my defense, I did get about two-thirds of the way into the first book before I gave up and threw it across the room.
Very violent.
So this is kind of, you know, but to coin a phrase, and you might cut this, but I think it fits into a tweet. Twilight, where the choices are between bestiality and necrophilia, which I presume references her direction.
I think that's 100% accurate. Yeah.
And what's awful is who the author is. She's like a Mormon, isn't she, or something like that?
She is. But from what I'm told, I have not read her other book, but from what I'm told, it's out and out porn.
Yeah, it's crap.
That's what I was told this weekend, that the host is out and out porn. So I'm not so sure that the Mormon sensibilities really have much to do with it. I have to say, I must confess that the only time I've ever seen anything that I can tie to Mormonism is when they are discussing eternity. Mormons, and Christy would probably be able to speak to this better than me, but from what I understand, Mormons believe in an eternal soul. So you will be eventually absorbed body and soul into heaven, and that you don't just marry for this life, but you marry for eternity. So including the afterlife.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is, only the husband can decide if you're going to enter heaven with him.
Yeah, yeah. Your priest holder decides who comes to heaven. Well, but this is not a debate over Mormonism.
No, because I've seen that program with Bill Bixby, and I quite like it.
Oh, good Lord.
I guilty pleasure. That's another one. Big Love. Totally. I watched every single episode. And
I have not seen it. I refuse to watch anything that has to do with that.
It's interesting. It's definitely very interesting. And you've got some pretty good actors in the series. But I can tell you definitely that Tech, my husband, would come in often when I was watching it and say, I just don't understand. It's like, why would anyone do that to themselves? Like, one relationship isn't hard enough.
It's worth it. It's worth it for Margie.
Yes. And she's the reason why I'm watching Once Upon a Time. Jennifer Goodwin, I think her name is, the actress.
Okay. Personal guilty pleasure, which was put onto by, I'll use her Twitter name, Dragoness Anna. I'll put it to you this way. 6 months after we connected on Skype was the 17th of November, and I wished her a happy non-anniversary since we haven't actually met yet.
Nice.
But we don't use the R word. We don't use the L word. But she started watching, and there's a little. It's a show. I'll give you the name of the show in a second. I went down to my local video rental store, and they rent TV shows. I don't know if they do that in Canada or whatever country Kirsty is in.
Oh, I'm American. I'm in out in the middle of a cornfield.
I'm American too, but I'm in Canada.
But I'm quoting Rich Hall there. He says he's a proud Canadian and he's happy to live in Canada. But I went down to the video rental store and they rent TV shows for like $10 a week.
Nice.
So, because, you know, in a week you can probably get through a TV show if you're focused and you don't want anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down and I give them the €10 and he starts taking the show out of the rental boxes and putting it into the actual boxes. I'm like, so when's this due back? You know, because I was renting on Monday. Is it due back Sunday evening or is it due back Monday evening or Tuesday? And he goes, oh, no, you own it now. And I'm like, what? But it was in the rental section. We sell, so there, it had been rented previously and they were selling off like, oh, it's mine. Right. The show in question, and I fully expected traction. Because the thing is, when I started watching it, because she kept tweeting, like, watch.
It's totally teasing us. You know, sort of
subsequent check-ins on Getglue. Yes, I'm building up suspense here. and I watched it, and I actually started to like it. And this is as a bloke who's just turned 40 and is straight. Gossip Girl.
I cannot say that I watched perhaps half of an episode of that at my sister's house, but I will tell you that Gossip Girl has got one of the best soundtracks. When I'm looking for music just to like a random selection, I will go to YouTube and look for Gossip Girl playlist because people have taken the songs from the show and they have like some of my favorite music in that show. So I don't know much about the show, but I can tell you that it's got great music.
I'm sensing from Kirsty's laugh she's seen it.
No, actually, I can honestly say I've never seen that show before. I don't really get to watch a lot of TV.
I live alone. I have a DVD collection which takes up 3 shelving units with 5 shelves each. I watch too much TV.
I don't have a television signal right now. I'll have one in the new year, but I'm taking a break from paying for television signal. And it's not bad.
DVDs,
right. Well, I haven't bought any new DVDs either. But actually, that's a lie. I did buy Alien Nation and Get Smart's episode season 4. But those are with my husband right now, so I haven't been able to watch them. But yeah, Alien Nation, really looking forward to it. But that's not a guilty pleasure. So, Kirsty, give me a guilty pleasure.
Oh, let's see. I just started watching it this year. It's on the web. It's not on a cable or nothing. It's The Guild. Because I am a gamer, but yeah.
That's not a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Not a guilty pleasure at all.
Well, a lot of my friends, they don't understand. My wife understands completely, but the rest of them are like, you watch what?
Oh, Christy, you're among geeks here. We all understand. As a matter of fact, we tend to find out if somebody hasn't watched The Guild. We say, oh, no, 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 go sit down and watch it. The Guild is awesome.
Well, see, I hadn't actually seen it before up until earlier this year after I cut my my finger open with a razor. And I just, for some reason, I wanted to watch something like that. And I don't actually remember how I stumbled across it. I think it was a friend of mine. She goes by Thera. And I think she was referencing something. And I just remember I went and looked it up on YouTube and I found it. And I like watched from seasons 1 to 4. And then I've been keeping up with the rest of it. And my wife at the time, she's just like, what are you watching? And I'm like, nothing. And I would click off of it. And she's like, no, seriously, what are you watching?
I think she'd love it.
She did. She started getting into it. She started getting into it after I did. And that's kind of the trend, like, I'll get into something, she'll get into something, and, you know, vice versa. But for, like, the longest time, I'd click off of it, and both my mom and my wife are like, what are you doing over there?
So you heard it here first, kids. Slicing open your finger causes you to watch awesome shows. So if you're bored and you don't have anything to watch, slice open your finger and something awesome will show up.
Just make sure you have lots of
fingers. What is not that awesome? You've just been watching Twilight too recently.
The Guild is awesome. I love The Guild. Although I do use the very first episode of The Guild as a cautionary tale to my fellow geeks about being careful and being cautious, because you never know, you might have a Zabu show up on your doorstep.
What I really related to, it wasn't so much the Zabu thing, is that Codex is a priest, and that's what I primary play. And then when she got handed the guild, I recently just retired as a guild master, and I understood, like, everything she was going through as far as the drama went. And, yeah, I really sympathized with her. She was so cool.
On a spinoff from the guild, I've avoided registering or logging on to World of Warcraft primarily because back in the tech space mod days, I used to average 6 hours a day on Ancient Anguish. So
yeah, I knew a lot of people that flunked out of university because of that. Sorry, Christy, it's before your time.
I know. Everything was before my time. It wasn't that far before my time, though.
No, not terribly. Possibly maybe 6 years before your time.
What was this again?
MUDs. Yeah, completely text-based. You'd play them primarily on BBSs.
No,
yeah.
I played it and the original Quake on dial-up in the mid-90s.
There's that, too. It transferred over, but I think they started on the BBSs, no? It was dial-up, but it wasn't, like, on the World Wide Web originally.
The internet is not the World Wide Web. My 15 years as an IT specialist are insulted by the implication.
No, there is a difference between when people had internet, which meant you would dial into a bulletin board, or you could only go to AOL, or, what was that other one?
Gopher!
Gopher or CompuServe or
the precursor to the evil empire, aka Google.
Exactly. And then the World Wide Web hit, where you could leave your internet service provider and then go out and see other people from other internets and service providers and contact people, and the background was all gray.
you could telnet before the web.
True.
And the mods were always telnet. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was explaining. But the World Wide Web as a phrase and as a destination didn't come until a little bit later.
Tim Berners-Lee has a lot to answer for.
So anyway, more guilty pleasures.
We're branching off into my specialty.
That's totally fine. I ramble and I go into tangents.
Oh my God, does she ever?
Oh, yes.
I've podcasted with Aaron. I'm familiar with it.
You've podcasted with me. You're familiar with it.
I've podcasted with you,
and I had a housemate, and I kept him awake and had to run away. And the first 45 minutes of that podcast didn't record.
Yeah, there is that.
All right, Nettie, I've known you, for like 10 years now?
Getting there.
I didn't actually meet you, but I started talking to you, I think, 2002 when I rejoined the role-playing world.
Yeah, it was either 2002 or 2003, somewhere around then. Yep.
I've known from that day, you just keep on going.
That's right. Anyway, so back to guilty pleasures. I know that there's one that Christy and I both share. Xena, the warrior princess.
Exactly.
Oh, Xena's cool.
Xena's awesome.
She is. She's pretty rocking.
Yes. I have heard, although she's straight herself, she is apparently a lesbian icon, but...
Oh, yeah, she very much is. Oh, she very much is. My mom is a very profound lesbian and is very much in love with her, has been for years.
I'm totally straight and I'm in love with her and have been for years. So that should just give it to you right there. I have a thing for strong women. What can I say?
I was always a Gabby fan. I mean, I loved Gabrielle. She was probably my favorite. I have her staff and everything. It was just awesome.
Oh, she's so ditzy. I mean, she's adorable, but she's still ditzy.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend with me. I like a lot of ditzy people.
Wait a minute.
She's so obviously in love with Xena.
Well, yes. Hence the gay icon.
Whereas for me, the latter seasons especially have the reason I watch any show, and Bruce I think Campbell. This may count as a guilty pleasure, Bruce Campbell.
I knew you were going to say that. Yes, Bruce Campbell is a great guilty pleasure, and I can't think of anything that I've seen him in that I haven't enjoyed him. I may not have enjoyed this show or movie, but I definitely enjoy him.
I'm staring under B. Because I've got like about 700 discs of DVD, I've alphabetized them because otherwise there's no other way of organizing them. But under B is Briscoe County Jr.
It's a great one. Some of the things that he's been in more recently is he's had cameos in the Spider-Man movies. He is a regular main character in, what's it called, Burn Notice? And I absolutely love him in that because he's a grumpy old man.
I'm chomping my way towards the end of season two of that. And as my co-host Mike, hi Mike, points out.
Hi Mike.
No, he's not on, but I think I he listens to this.
He does.
As my co-host points out, Burn Notice, I'm surprised, hasn't been shut down by the Department of Homeland Security because it's basically a how to break into things toolkit. It instructs you on how to make interesting explosives and things. Yeah. Although, thank God Fiona abandoned that awful Irish accent.
That's good. I have to say, I don't watch it that often, but whenever it's on, I will leave it on in the background and look up whenever Bruce Campbell's on TV. He's the reason I watch the show.
He's what I aim to be at his age, which is a lush.
I think you got a good start on it. So, yeah. So, Bruce Campbell's, you know, all the Evil Deads. We've got the different Sam Raimis. He was, of course, Autolycus, Prince of Thieves. And I will absolutely always love him. And I truly believe he is what Duke Nukem was based on as a character. And that goes to my video gaming guilty pleasure.
Dude, I remember him. It's like Duke Nukem. I think everybody has at least once. And if they have, they're lying to themselves.
I remember Duke Nukem LAN parties. Yeah. LAN parties.
Yeah, LAN parties.
Well, the only way that you could play with other people, multiple people like that, is if you were all connected to one network. And now, you know, there's the internet.
Exactly. Of all this stuff. Yeah, I remember Duke Nukem. I think I played it once. My mom's architecture professor or CAD professor, I can't remember which one, had it on his desktop. And the only thing I remember about this desktop, remember those desktops that had the fishy swimming around and stuff like that?
You mean the screensaver?
Yeah, the screensaver, sorry. Okay. I don't ever use a screensaver, so I just forget the name. But yeah, he had Duke Nukem on that thing. And I remember once going, what's this? And he's like, I think it might be a little too violent for you. And I was just like, oh, come on. And he's like, okay, but you can't tell your mom. And so I like started playing this and I'm shooting.
Potato.
And I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
Context.
Duke Nukem.
Pure lift from Ash.
Oh, totally.
To quote Evil Dead Army of Darkness, which is the best Evil Dead. Good Ash, bad Ash, I'm the one with the gun.
I call this my boomstick. And there's a couple of other really great lines that I'm not going to say because I don't want to have to dub out the curses with taco.
You're talking to me and I'm somewhat drunk. You're going to have to dub out the curses anyway.
I know, but any work I can save myself, the better.
You are here.
comfortably seated in the normalcy of reality. But there is a place not far away where reality becomes a little shaky. Twice a month, you are invited on a journey north of reality.
Vampires, time travel, ghosts,
alternate timelines.
Antonia Manette and Jack Ward are your guides through a variety of topics that are slightly off-kilter from what you consider real. This pair of normals examine the paranormal twice a month on the 15th and 30th. You can catch North of Reality on iTunes from the Sonic Society webpage, sonicsociety.org, or on a radio station near you. Call your stations and ask about it. Perhaps you can even pick it up by wearing an aluminum foil hat. Anything is possible, especially the impossible, on North of Reality.
I am informed by my friend Liz that I say cider with a Somerset accent. And sometimes I say Somerset with a Somerset accent, as opposed to my native one.
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Well, in Somerset, you spec things. If you've ever seen Darling Buds of May, which was kind of a guilty pleasure because Catherine Zeta-Jones got her start in it.
I see.
It's actually Welsh.
Is she? You know, there's a lot of people, actors and so forth, that are Welsh that just throw me when I find out. And I'm like, what? Really? Welsh? Oh, no offense to the Welsh.
Anthony Hopkins, I trust.
I know. What the heck? Tom Jones.
Really? That's a proper Welsh accent, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Jones.
So, in that case, I'll settle on Welsh accents as a guilty pleasure. They're just sexy. Even Miles Torchwood has a Welsh accent you could cut and slice bread with.
Oh, yeah. Definitely he does.
Even Miles, a.k.a. Gwen Cooper in Torchwood, if you want to nail down a Welsh accent.
There you go. There you go. And that's a Welsh accent I can understand.
Barely. I love her too, don't get me wrong. She's one of my favorite characters, but if you're not listening carefully to her, you just happen to miss something.
Well, we, here in Canada, especially Atlantic Canada, we say that the Newfoundland accent is the Welsh accent of Canada. That a lot of people will make fun of the accent, but if you ever meet a Newf, you can usually understand what they're saying, and it's definitely an eclectic accent and a lot of fun. I love all the different accents in Atlantic Canada. It's really funny because
say a boot.
That's Ontario. Ontario says a boot, and more northern Ontario, but definitely Ontario. That is where Bob and Doug McKenzie are from. But that's the only accent anyone ever thinks of when they think of Canadian accents. And there's so many different ones, especially in Atlantic Canada, that I love it.
See, I feel really bad because I've never met anybody from Canada. a lot of my guildmates, there's a couple of them that I raid with occasionally that are from Canada. They have no accents and I don't know. I guess I don't get it. Maybe they're not from the right location. I mean, I don't know.
Canada, America without the violence.
True, and better healthcare.
Well, it's funny because people hear accents, whether they're there or not. In the same day when I was at the radio station here, I was kind of laughed at for my New York accent, which I tried to stuff down into a corner. And but it comes out when I say the words, the certain words like water, which usually comes out as water.
W-R-T-E-H.
Yes, I was being laughed at for my New York accent during the day. And then when I got onto my game and put on the voice chat, my guildies were making fun of my quote unquote Canadian accent. And I was like, but wait. So on both sides, you know, when people think you have an accent, they place it there, whether they hear it or not.
See, I get that too.
I am linguistically convergent. I trend towards the accents of whom I'm speaking with. I mean, my brother has a flat Dublin accent, and he said, like, because we shared a room up to about he's 3 years older. We shared a room until I was about 12. Mm-hmm. When my eldest brother moved in with the girl he just married. And he said, my accent isn't anything like yours. And he couldn't understand because I wonder about So, I mean, like, if I've actually gotten in trouble in Scotland because I've gone over there and my accent takes on a sort of Scottish tinge and you get these big hairy rugby fans and like, you're taking that piss. And I'm like, no. Here, let me buy you a pint, which solves an amazing amount of issues in pubs.
It really does. I do pick up accents as I go around. I do find myself saying things depending on the people around me. One of my sisters is notorious for it. She worked in Spanish Harlem and lived in Queens. And then on the weekends, she would come out to the island and stay with us over the weekend. And when she would come out on Friday, she had a thick Spanish Harlem accent. And then by Sunday, she had the Long Island suburban accent. And when we went to Ireland to visit family, we were doing everything we could not to pick up the accent so that our family didn't think we were making fun of them, because it was really hard. And we'd get in the car and my sister's brogue would come out. What are you doing?
And you do actually know what brogue means. If you have Irish ancestry.
Yeah.
Mine's Scottish ancestry, so I don't know.
Brogue literally translates as shoe.
Wait, really?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know the literal translation.
It's a brogue. I mean, brogue is more of a shoe. It's a weird thing. I can look, if you've been here, you'll understand this. I can look at road signs, which, if you've been here, you'll know are bilingual, like road signs up in Canada.
In English and Gaelic.
Yes, Irish. We call it Irish.
Sorry, Grandma called it Gaelic.
And I can look at them and I can pronounce it correctly, but I couldn't tell someone who didn't grow up speaking the language how to pronounce it. I just know. I suppose you could call it a guilty pleasure, more guilty lack of. I don't understand enough of what's officially the first language of my country to speak it, even badly. But I can speak it well enough to confuse foreigners. And more specifically, Sassenachs.
Well, my grandmother never tried to teach any of us Gaelic, nor did my grandfather try to teach any of us German. It was very important to them that, you know, their children were American, and so they really didn't teach any of the languages. But I do remember when I was younger listening to my grandmother say the rosary in Gaelic, and it just sounded like nonsense to me. But I loved listening to it.
It's very lyrical.
It is.
I've been in a pub in Dublin where it's called the Shanachie.
Okay.
It's a cappella singing in the Irish language, and it's this woman was in her 70s, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you've heard it.
Oh yeah, it sounded like a nursery rhyme. Now you mentioned Shanachie. Have you listened to the Shanachie podcast?
No, I live here.
The Shanachie podcast was Patrick McLean's podcast, and I believe it's a dead podcast now, but it's where he had all sorts of essays and where he started his How to Succeed in Evil series and everything else like that. And it's really funny because, you know, he's American and everyone didn't know how to spell it or how to find his website because nobody could spell Shanachie.
I can't spell it.
Yeah, but it's definitely very interesting to listen to, especially because he really doesn't have Gaelic in this podcast either. So nobody really knows what the podcast's about.
If I can drag us faintly back on topic, looking again, because basically the bees are in my eye line. So yes. I'm seeing something that's definitely a guilty pleasure. I know it's not my turn, but nobody else's.
Go right ahead.
Buck Rogers in the 21st Century.
That's a good one. And I do believe one of our assorted nuts is a big fan. I could be wrong, but I think it was Mr. Geek Acres that called in about that having to do with the robot debate. So yeah, definitely a good guilty pleasure.
You'll have to explain it to me because I actually have no idea what that is.
Before her time.
Oh my God. I am not that young. Come on.
It's before my time too, so don't feel bad.
It's barely in my time. It's like 1975.
Oh, I'll just have to ask my mom then.
Yeah.
Sure, she'll appreciate that.
I was at HowlCon this past week. Again, everything comes full circle. And Erin Gray was there.
Ooh.
She is from Buck Rogers and the 25th Century.
Buck Rogers and the 25th Century pioneered tight lycra jumpsuits way before TNG ever started it.
Oh, totally. Yes. Okay, Christy, you've seen season 5 of The Guild, right?
Yeah, I've already seen it.
Okay. The Charity Mannix character is essentially, and I'm not sure if she's played by the same actress, actually, now that I think about it, is basically spoofing Erin Gray's character in Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In a world where the medium is the message, one podcaster breaks all the rules. No theme. No format. No schedule. And everyone thinks she's a dude. Produced by Meredith Matthews. In association with Hot Glue Media. An amazing experimental audio arts experience. Brain Douche, the podcast. Get that fresh, clean feeling at braindouche.net.
Christy hasn't confessed a guilty pleasure in quite a while.
Yes, because it's Christy's turn.
As Nutty knows, I do tend to try and pretty much take over any podcast to participate in.
Yes.
That's okay. So what topic are we on now?
Guilty pleasures.
No, like, what are we talking about, video games or what?
Anything.
Jeez.
All right, while you think about it, I'm going to come out with a movie.
I said cheese. I'm actually addicted to cheese. It's like one of my absolute favorite things, anything cheese related.
Like as in cheddar and mozzarella?
Yeah, like mozzarella, cheddar, provolone, Swiss. Oh my God, like I will order queso over anything, or I will eat chips and queso over just about anything I can get my hands on. I had to put cheese on almost everything. It's really weird.
Have you tried chili cheese?
Oh my God, yes. There's a restaurant that actually makes a cheeseburger queso. Yeah, I put cheese on everything.
I need context for queso. I have no idea.
Queso is a hot cheese dip.
Yes, it's Mexican. It's a Mexican.
Oh, so it's sort of a fondue thing.
No.
You take melted cheese, like any
nacho
sort of melted cheese. Yeah, nacho cheese. You put like salsa in it, like any kind of salsa you want, and then like boom, you could put like basil or whatever in it. Oh my goodness.
Do we need to describe what salsa is?
No, I know what salsa is. Please. Fajitas is one of the few meals I can make from scratch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, basically queso means cheese.
Yeah.
It sounds Spanish.
Yes, it's Mexican. And you will get at convenience stores and movie theaters and wherever, you can get nachos with essentially, you can pump the queso on it, which is boiling
cheese. It's nachos and cheese dip.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Doritos and cheese dip.
No, tortillas. Tostitos over Doritos. Doritos aren't...
Cool Ranch Doritos with nacho cheese. Oh my God.
I'm going to be sick.
I mean, to me, it's not even a guilty pleasure, but spiciness. If you're eating a curry and you're not sweating 30 seconds in, then the chef didn't try.
I have had curry, I think, every day except for once this entire week. And that includes all of my weekend at HowlCon. There was a pita place that had a gyro with curry in it. And I was getting curry muscles.
It's called a gyro.
Depends on where you are. In New York, we call it gyro. Here in Canada, they call it a gyro. You call it a gyro.
In the UK, a gyro is the check you get from the Department of Unemployment.
here, a gyro is what you call what Elvis Presley used to do. He used to gyrate. I don't know.
No, I'm assuming it's G-I-R-O.
G-Y-R-O, yeah, is the Greek spelling.
Like gyro.
But everybody pronounces it differently.
And I'm called a hero.
A hero. No, a hero is a sub.
I know.
A hoagie.
If you're from the South, it's a po' boy.
Chuck's not a guilty pleasure. Chuck's fun. If you're a geek, you have to watch Chuck. It's not an requirement.
Although I have to say, I'm kind of ready for Chuck to be over.
What is this?
I haven't seen beyond season 4.
Mm. Chuck is essentially, it's a show on NBC, I think, maybe, where a guy that works at essentially a Best Buy, they call it a Buy More, gets this computer program downloaded into his brain accidentally and becomes a super spy. And so you've got this total nerd boy geek running around being a spy. It's a lot of fun.
It's got Scott Bakula in it.
It has Scott Bakula in it. It also has Adam Baldwin, from Firefly.
Casey's a guilty pleasure in and of himself.
I love Casey. He's my favorite character from that show.
He growls at everything.
I love the growling. The growling's the best part.
Chuck is what tuning into sci-fi TV calls spy-fi.
Spy-fi, nice. I have to say that Adam Baldwin is a guilty pleasure of mine, much like Bruce Campbell is a guilty pleasure of yours, because I absolutely love him. I even love him from Full Metal Jacket. Awesome.
I can't remember him in Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, go watch it again. You'd be surprised how many people you know are in Full Metal Jacket that you did not know then. He's Animal Mother.
It's been like, God. No, I would say, I think that movie's like 82 or 83.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adam Baldwin is older than he looks. And he is not of those Baldwins either.
I Googled that when I started watching Firefly. Does Jane count as a guilty pleasure separately to Anne?
Oh, is it the guy that played Jane? That's what we're talking about, right? Yes, oh my God, I love him. Sorry.
Incidentally, those Baldwins are from one town over from where I grew up. And they're very active in the political scene before they were actors. Their family is very political. So I knew right away.
Are we talking Kennedy level political or
not Kennedy, more local politics. They were very involved in getting things done on Long Island, and there's actually a breast cancer foundation, I believe, in their mom's name that always has a big run as well.
Oh, I'll send you a link.
Okay.
Since you mentioned breast cancer, I'm doing Movember.
Movember.
I'm growing a sad attempt at a tash. And it is, I am what Britons and some Americans refer to as a ginger.
You're very ginger.
Thank you.
Yes, I know quite a few people doing Movember.
I've been growing it. I'll fire you off. If this thing's liable to be out before the end of November, I'll fire you a link to the donation page.
Yes, send me a link to your Movember page. There are lots of people doing it, but because you're on Nutty Bites, you're going to get the endorsement. I've already donated, though.
I win.
Yeah, no, Movember's a great thing. It's basically...
I asked my boss's boss, who's a...
That was filthy.
He is. I'm sorry, he is. But I said to him on Friday, so can I get a pledge off you? And he looked at me and said, when are you going to... I'm like, I haven't shaved since the 1st of November, you...
Tommy Hoodler.
I said, okay, you slagged me off. You have to donate now.
Movember is when men... stop shaving their mustache area, and they all grow these really gross porno stashes. But it's to raise awareness and money for either breast cancer or men's health.
As a guy who's just entered his 40s, I am really not looking forward to prostate cancer checks in the next few years.
I have one thing to say to that. Ha ha!
Oh, come on. Breast cancer checks are nowhere near as bad as having a doctor the rubber glove thing.
Dude, have you ever had part of your body squeezed between two heavy things and just turned into mush, trust me, you would not want your guys getting squished the way that our girls get squished.
Do you really want me to answer that? Given where I could go with it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to move on.
So are we still talking like actors as far as guilty pleasures go, or just like anything throw in
one
general?
Throw one out there.
Norman Reedus. I really honestly say that I've never been as addicted to an actor as I am to this man, because just...
Who is he?
Norman Reedus. He was Murphy in the Boondock Saints. He's been like so many other films.
Ah.
And the first thing I ever seen him as was something my wife showed me. It was a short clip. It's from a movie called Dark Harbor, I think. It's of him and Alan Rickman kissing, like full on, like, you know, hand in hand kissing.
Pardon me, I might have to go look this up. Christian, you send me a link to that, okay?
Okay.
Alan Rickman's another. Ooh, yeah.
Oh my god, he's an awesome actor. But yeah, Norman.
Sorry. When you said Reedus and then you said Rickman, I was like, then if we're going with actors, Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element, he just chews the scenery wonderfully.
Fifth Element is just awesome.
But yeah, I've seen Boondock Saints just recently. I know it's like been out for like forever, but I just recently started watching, and I play it on my desktop all the time while I'm working. And then there's another one. It's from the Masters of Horror. It's called The Cigarette Burns. That is probably one of the freakiest ones I've seen him in. He's actually in a TV show now called The Walking Dead.
Ah.
He plays one of the characters. He's not even in the comic book, and he's like a fan favorite.
That happens.
I mean, hang on a second. This isn't the guy in The Walking Dead that used to be in Prison Break, is it?
No. I don't think he was in that film. I actually don't remember that being in his repertoire.
No, Prison Break's not a film. Does Prison Break count as a guilty pleasure? Is it an awful show?
I would count it as a guilty pleasure, because I feel you should be ashamed for liking that show.
Okay. That more generic guilty pleasures is cheap DVD box sets, something which hasn't arrived yet,
mm-hmm.
but which I blame Mike. I blame Mike on a lot of unnecessary DVD purchases, because, hey, it's a bargain. So the term, in the general term, hey, it's a bargain, DVDs you've bought because you don't necessarily like them, but damn it, they're cheap and it seems like good value, and then you end up liking them anyway. And on a personal note, given my dislike of her writing style and the apparent rivalry she's trying to spark up between herself and the one true god, aka Terry Pratchett, J.K. Rowling, and I got for £32 plus a small amount of the entire Harry Potter. There's a
That's for teaching little wizards and witches how to tinkle.
Oh, good lord!
Yes.
And there's Harry Potter.
The entire Harry Potter box set. I've done it again. The entire Harry Potter box set. All 8 movies on Blu-ray.
Ooh.
For £32.
Nice. That is a good deal.
That's £4 a pop. I can't not buy that.
Exactly.
Because whatever you think about the writing or the storyline, the acting,
I love it.
They look visually stunning.
Yes.
And I have a 40-inch LCD TV.
Wow.
Mm.
And a subwoofer, so I can go shiny.
I have a 52-inch downstairs in my family room.
Oh, and he me with just the piddly little 42 1080 IP. But I have to say, I would like to see those in Blu-ray, because they are very pretty movies. Absolutely. But I have a movie that I must mention, because I'm doing what FaZe is doing and I'm just looking across. And the Titan AI.
AE,
whatever. Thank you.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's a cartoon.
So.
Me neither. I gave up after 15 minutes.
Oh, it's so good. And Tone Loc is in it. I mean, any cartoon with Tone Loc is awesome, right? Right?
The rapper, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I seen him in Surf Ninjas. That was the only movie I've ever seen him in.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. That's a bad, bad movie.
On the mention of Surf Ninjas, I saw it on one of the Pratchett forums I'm on, and this could be a potential guilty pleasure, especially for Christy, assuming I've read your writing. It's called Strippers versus Vampires.
You know, I've actually seen stuff like that, but I've never seen it. I've heard of the zombie strippers too, and I never.
It could actually be strippers versus zombies.
You know, zombie strippers really doesn't sound appetizing because I have a feeling they're not stripping their clothes.
It's not zombie strippers; they're fighting zombies.
So the strippers are fighting the zombies. Okay.
Yeah,
I could watch that.
Zombies is one of my guilty pleasures. I am obsessed with zombies. Anything zombie related, and it used to scare the crap out of me.
I was just gonna say, it's really funny.
That's not a guilty pleasure. That's just a pleasure. I'm a huge George A. Romero fan.
People look at me like I'm a freak though, because I bring up all this stuff in my classes, and they're like, "You watch what?" I'm like, "Oh crap, here we go." I'm known as the zombie girl in my creative writing class.
You're not among geeks, there, Christy. I find it so funny because Christy used to be totally freaked out by zombies that she wouldn't come to a role playing session if we were playing zombies.
I literally would have panic attacks.
I would have to warn her if there was going to be zombie content.
I'm sorry. I mean, like, I'm such a zombie. Well, obviously, I'm watching The Walking Dead, and despite it being stupidly expensive, I bought The Walking Dead season one on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And I paid effectively like £5 per episode because there's only six.
Wow.
My first novel I'm working on actually right now is going to be zombie related.
Have you guys read Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies?
I haven't got a chance to read it yet.
Totally worth it.
I just finished a really fascinating book. It's called Brains, a Memoir. It's taken from the perspective of the zombie itself and why they want to eat people and why they come at you with their arms outstretched. I mean, it's so tongue in cheek, but it's so fascinating.
That's awesome.
If you want to take someone from that perspective, there is Escape Pod's Hugo nominee series, which is on in July, including something called The Things, which is the John Carpenter movie from the perspective of The Thing.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a really good one. I highly recommend it.
People who irritate me are like, oh yeah, 28 Days Later, great zombie movie. I'm like, no, it's not a zombie movie.
Well,
because they starved to death and zombies already dead.
Well, when you think about it, though, when you think about the way a zombie is reanimated, they literally need flesh and stuff to somewhat survive. And then they would have to be faced with the heat of our sun, which, you know, their skin's already rotting, so naturally they're going to waste away.
Regardless, though, that's not a guilty pleasure, but Shaun of the Dead is the best date movie ever.
Okay, you got me there.
I hated it when I saw it.
Shaun
because,
of the Dead?
Yeah, no, let me explain. Okay. I'm an empath, and my friend and the girl actually is an ex-friend. It's an argument we had when I was there in July, and he unfriended me on Facebook. Really a bad idea when I've got his home phone number. But,
do not cross face.
They'd had a major sort of blowout because I was visiting, and he was going on the piss with me, and she was upset that he wasn't spending time with her.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to see Shaun of the Dead. And what I didn't know was he was hating it as much as I was, but he was staying there for my sake and I was staying there for his sake.
That's a friend.
And we didn't create web folks, so we don't communicate these things. I did make him promise, if you're hating the movie, tell me, because if I'm hating it too, we can both leave.
Oh, but I love that movie.
I've watched Space since, which is like such a... Is Space the guilty pleasure? Is Space just a geek thing? TV show is called Space. It's by the guys who did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and predates it.
I don't know, because I haven't seen it.
Me either. I don't even know what it is.
There's so many geek touchstones in it.
Yeah, no.
Plus, of course, it stars, if you're touching on Doctor Who, the bleached blonde, the peroxide blonde guy who was in the episode with the big sort of jelly thing at the top level of Satellite 5.
Oh my God. Oh, Simon Pegg, yes.
Yes, it stars Simon Pegg and his mate who eventually turns into a zombie in Shaun of the Dead.
Aha. I love those guys. So I'll have to watch that.
Dig out space. I think actually Amazon.ca has it in the appropriate region.
I will have to check that out because I really did dig Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and I really liked Run, Fat Boy, Run.
They have a new one that came out. Cripes. I don't even remember what it was called. I actually have it, but I haven't watched it yet. It was where they got the alien and they were touring around like New Mexico and stuff like that. Thank you. Yes. I have not seen that yet, but yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. So does anybody have any guilty pleasures that they want to share?
Sims, as far as games go. I know it doesn't make you a gamer. It makes you a sadist, but still, I can't help it.
Yeah.
I get mad at somebody. I make a sim of them. I put them in a little room with blocks and I let them run around until they die. Makes me feel better.
Oh. Christy should not have power ever because she'll do that to human beings. Faze, any last?
Don't give Kirsty Christy a copy of Populous then.
No. Faze, last guilty pleasure you want to share?
Oh, chop socky movies.
Yes.
The likes of Jackie Chan. I did martial arts through my teenage years from like 1984 through to 1989. And given that I'm 40 now, you can do the math. But yeah, I love the likes of Police Story. I mean, the plot is awful. The premise is ridiculous. It's basically, chop socky is basically martial arts porn. There are vague link scenes between kick
Donkey.
Fight
yes,
scenes.
Yes, I grew up watching various chop suey, kung fu, whatever you want to call them kind of movies with my brother. Now, my brother was a Vietnamese refugee, and so he would get them, and they'd be, I believe, in Chinese with Vietnamese subtitles. So I couldn't read the subtitles, and I had no idea what they were saying, but we would watch those all day because they were awesome. Because really, you don't need to know what they're saying. And so I will agree with you on that 100%.
The badly dubbed Bruce Lee stuff where he's a, which was taken the piss out of so accurately. Okay, then that links me to another one. The Police Academy movies. At least the first three or four.
I love the Police Academy movies. I am huge. Oh my gosh. I absolutely love them. And rest in peace, Bubba Smith. He passed away last week. Hightower.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He had an enlarged heart and complications with diet drugs.
Big Bang Theory count as a guilty pleasure since you mentioned
you know why?
Enlarged heart.
You know why? Because it's way too mainstream. and I don't count it as a guilty pleasure. So with Police Academy movies, because I absolutely love those, I'm gonna throw out one of my favorites, which is the Adam West Batman series.
Yes.
Oh, cheesy.
Oh yeah, I love it. The bam pow whack shark repellent. Everything just totally awesome.
Have you seen the YouTube video, which is basically the Dark Knight credit sequence done in an Adam West intro style with the Adam West Batman theme tune?
Oh, I've got to check that out. I will look that up later, but thank you. I'm going to look that up. So does anybody want to plug anything? FaZe?
My podcast, obviously. Fazecast.fazecast.com.
Okay.
Episode or season 5 wrap up. The wrap-ups are episodes without number.
Aha.
But it's got me badly breathing into this microphone, reading the Indeed bit, which I recorded about 24 hours ago. So around 2:40 a.m., well, somewhat inebriated.
We're noticing a theme here. And Christy, do you want to plug anything? Tell people your Twitter name or whatever.
Disturbed Angel 2 at Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. No, I don't really have anything to plug yet. I'm not that good.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Please give us a call. Tell us what your guilty pleasures are, because we all want to know. What? I mean, who doesn't want to know what somebody's guilty pleasure is, right?
I'm just looking at Christy on Facebook and sending her a friend request.
Oh, cool.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and have a good November, and get those words out, you NaNoWriMos.
Welcome back to you, All Things Geek. This is going to be episode... I don't know.
Good to see the light of gay. Light of gay.
I just puked in my mouth.
Pizza and cranberry juice.
Tune into All Things Geeky for clips like this and more. www.allthingsgeeky.info. Do it.
Netty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nettybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.